Hi there. Welcome to Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. Thanks for listening. I appreciate you tuning in. Hope you're having a great day. Always have some fun people to connect with. I love doing this show because it gives me an opportunity to seek out people who are doing things that may not be mainstream. As a matter of fact, they could be far from it because that's my specialty. That's my sense of things that we need to start sharing because they are much more common than we've been allowed to believe in a lot of ways. The stuff that I have experienced, the stuff that I see other people who call themselves mystics or shaman or intuitives or whatever name you want to give, people who are walking kind of outside the box and experimenting with the unseen in different ways. And having those things manifest, we have to have our support groups, our networks, our connections that say, yeah, I have an amazing story to share. And then it's up to anybody else how far they want to go with that story. But Natalie Roberts, I don't remember even how I stumbled onto this page on Facebook, but it could have been another group, another person's post. I love that. The networking is fabulous. And I realized when I saw that, these are the kinds of things that I have experienced in different ways. I posted a while back after I talked to the woman about personality of trees, that I had pictures in my yard of these energy beings, and they go inside, they go outside, but I happen to get them in the yard. And the picture is just so incredibly clear. You can see the dimension, you can see the design. And my partner, Andy, also with a different camera, was able to photograph the same image. So that was the whole kind of, I'm sorry, not with a different camera, with the same camera, but the two of us could each capture it. So it wasn't like it was just me. Anyway, Natalie has this page called A Sonoma County Phenomenon. And on that, you're going to see photographs and images of all different types of shapes. And Natalie, what got you started? How did this evolve to where it is now?
Well, hi, how are you, Wendy? How are you doing today?
Yeah, I should say hi.
I thought I'd throw that in there at first. Let me. How it got started. Well, okay, let me think. Back in 2006, I was using a 35 millimeter camera all the time, of course, throughout my life, and was known as a horrible photographer. I mean, the blurred pictures and everything. And so when I heard about these new cameras that came out digital, that not only could you delete the picture when seen on the screen, I mean, if you didn't like it, I mean, it was just amazing. The technology was just amazing to me because I don't know very much about technology at all, but this one thing just really blew me away. So I had to have one of these new cameras, and I got one. And when I came home from getting it, my daughter, it was like probably dusk, and I was asking my daughter if she would go out with me to take a few snapshots and to see how the camera would work, you know, and see what would happen because I was so excited about it. And she agreed to do it, and we went out in my backyard, and I took a photo of her standing in front of our beloved apple tree, and throughout the apple tree, there were Christmas lights strung all through them, and I thought to myself, wait a minute, I didn't put lights up there. Why are those lights up there? You know, and so one thing led to another, and that's how I first got these images, and I didn't even know what an orb was when I first started. I had to research it and find out about it, and this came to someone that had no knowledge in this field of expertise at all, which was me, and it, you know, started to blow me away. I mean, it was just amazing what was going on.
Well, and see, that's the thing, the Christmas light effect. Some people would say, well, okay, that's just something with the photography, and they'd leave it at that and say that they, as you said, you're not a really good photographer, so it must have been something funky you did and you would improve.
Well, I thought the camera was malfunctioning, so I decided to take the camera in the next day. But, you know, I have to say that I did take a photograph two or three in a row, and these objects had moved, but they were still there. So I was just at a loss for knowing what was going on. You know, I had no clue, and I thought, oh, God, great, you know, my new camera's broken already. And so then I took it in the following day, and they told me everything was fine, and so I came home and took some photographs during the day, and it was fine. And then that following night, it started to proceed again through this adventure that I have, this journey, I should say, that I have been going following, and it's grown quite a bit since that time, and it's unfolded itself, which is, it's just amazing what's been going on. You know, I think it's a rare event. I really do.
Well, is it more than just the photographs?
Yes, Oh, wow. It's been, you know, it's taught me so much. I was a total skeptic at first. You know, I didn't believe in this kind of stuff at all. You know, I really had no time for it, you know, and my life was too busy raising kids and stuff. And for this to start happening, I thought, what in the heck, you know, because like I said, I had no knowledge in this field whatsoever. I mean, I never even thought about it. And now I've had dreams. They've come to me in my dreams. And I feel like sometimes I wake up with more knowledge than what I did when I went to sleep. You know, I mean, it's changed my whole life, the whole way I look about life and everything. And it's just amazing, you know, and I've come to this point, honestly, feeling there's a passageway in the backyard in our property, you know, and it's, you know, if I would have heard anybody say this 6 years ago, I would have thought they were crazy, you know, but now I know how wrong I was about all this and how closed-minded I was. And we all need to open our minds a little bit, you know, and see the things out there that are truly there, you know, and it's been quite a journey, let me tell you.
What about your family?
Oh, my family has been by my side since day one. You know, they work real hard. My husband works 7 days a week, and we own a business, our own business. And so it's, you know, it's hard to work full-time and get into this, you know, totally. So he's on the sidelines rooting for me, and so are my kids. But, you know, they have their own lives, and they work real hard. They all work together on our company, so it's a family-run business. And here I am at home, you know, by myself, taking my pictures,
exploring.
they're blown away. They can't believe the extreme that they've gone to. The pictures have just, they've, like I said, unfolded and gotten more and more intense as time goes on. You know, and it's amazing that what's right there in front of us, and we just can't see it because of human limitations. You know, it's amazing.
Now, when you work with these pictures, and if you're listening, it starts out, there are little tiny lights and little pieces of, you know, like a reflection or a bright image. And then there are these bigger pictures that have this wispy cloud fog type effect with lights and with just lots of different shapes. Now, when you're taking these pictures, do you have a sense of which way to look, or is there, you know, how does that work?
You know, at first I never knew what to look for. I would just start taking the pictures, and I would, my nightly prayer would go, you know, I was so curious. I'd just go, please, if this continues on, let me try to understand this at a slow process, because I didn't want this thing or whatever it was to overwhelm me with, you know, with stuff like blow me away totally. So it was like a slow process. These pictures were, you know, unfolding to me, and it was really wonderful, because at first it just started with the orb action, and then I noticed the different kinds of orbs that would show up. And then the apparitions during the summer months would show up. And I didn't take any pictures during the winter months at all for the first 2 years, you know, because it was raining outside and I didn't think I would be able to get anything. So I would just stop at the winter months, and it would just, you know, pretty much be the summer months that I would be taking photographs. And I would got to the point where I started seeing this mist, this ectoplasm type stuff coming towards me. And I would get sick to my stomach and my hands would go numb. And then I knew that their presence was getting near. I could tell, you know, and it was a whole new thing for me. So I had to learn and accept this as time goes on, you know, and as each incident happened. And that's basically what was going on, you know. And then some of my most amazing pictures were the first apparition ones I ever got from them. And I just can't even explain them. They're just so amazing. You'll have to go to my Facebook page and my website to see these. I mean, they're untouched up. They're on automatic setting only with just a regular digital camera. You know, that's all I use.
Okay. And it's a Sonoma County phenomenon. Now, when you said you get sick to your stomach, was that because you were nervous, or was that an effect?
Well, no, it's just, I don't know why, you know, it just happened for the first couple of months that I was doing it. I just wouldn't feel good, you know, and then I'd come inside and rest for a while and then I'd be okay again. But I think it was just maybe their presence that was causing this, you know, or just me not being, you know, being at their level or something. I don't know what it was, you know, but it just made me feel sick and my hands would go numb. And then after a while I got used to it and everything's fine now, you know. But I think it was just me not being used to their atmosphere around them or something. I don't know what it was, you know. It was just something that was causing it, you know, causing me to feel ill. But then after a while I was okay, you know, so.
I've had the same experience, and a lot of people who are a little bit more sensitive to the energy or making the connections realize that this is also part of that experience. And anything you can share about, you know, your own physiological response, how does it affect us as we have these encounters? And for me, some of the stuff that I've noticed a barometric pressure shift. I've noticed sometimes there'll be more of a lightheadedness. And it really depends on what kind of contact it is,
right,
whether it's a you know, spirit phenomenon, an energy phenomenon, or an ET thing.
Right. And, you know, I never even believed in the ET thing before until I started getting some intense photographs of what I think might be involvement with this, you know, and you explain it a lot better than I can, because you're better at explaining it than I can, but it's exactly what you said, you know, it's having a connection with them, you know, and feeling, you know, knowing it's hard to describe in some ways, you know, but, I like at one point I noticed towards the middle part of this, during the second to the fourth year of this was my learning, the biggest learning period of this. And I noticed the pictures were more intense, and I was reading my pictures like a picture book, looking at the photo albums like a picture book would, but without words. And I started understanding more and more of it. And I felt honestly, they were, you know, giving me the photographs as a way of learning, you know, they were doing it at, you know, at their way of teaching me how to learn what their existence is about. You know, and it's quite amazing how far I've come, you know,
okay.
It's really a neat thing.
what is the most profound thing that you have experienced with this since your shift of, you know, you said you didn't used to believe this kind of thing. This is totally off the radar.
Yeah. Yeah. They're right here in front of us. We just don't see them, you know, and that's what I truly believe. And I believe that 80%, if not more, is ET involved. You know, I feel like they have a big involvement in this dimension that's right in my backyard area. You know, I think that maybe that when we die, we go into this dimension, because at first I was getting these digitally deformed photos where it was like a digit off, like they didn't know our frequency or something. Because when I was getting these pictures, just at first, I don't get them anymore, where it was all blurred, kind of like, it's like mm-hmm. they couldn't figure our frequency out, like a radio station, you know, or something. And then after it was figured out, then the pictures were clear and crisp and right there, you know. But I have these pictures of these families that would look like families, with old men sitting in chairs with babies on their laps, you know, from the 1800s and stuff mm-hmm. like that, you know. And it's just like, I'm going, what in the heck? You
know? Yeah.
Am I seeing what I think I'm seeing, you know? So, yeah, it's, you know, I just, I don't really push this, you know, at all, because I don't want people judging me too hardly for it, you know, and I'm just kind of quietly going along my way doing this, you know, and hoping that people see a similarity to what they're experiencing, you know, and people need to, you know, stick together, you know, and compare their experiences, because it's important, because things are out there. I mean, I really feel ashamed that I was so close-minded at first, because I should never have been that way, and now I totally am turned around.
Well, I think part of it, though, is it's that first-hand account. When you for yourself can say, this is legit, you know that you've done everything possible in your own mind to try and keep it from being something you're imagining or something that you could add on to or embellish. It happens, and there's no explanation. It's like with the nightlight thing. I was saying, okay, we're going to check the electricity. We're going to make sure that there's no malfunction. This is an electrical thing, so there's something wrong. There's a short, and it's happened with different nightlights in different houses in different places. It's not about the nightlight. It's about the energy. And their way of connecting with us happens to have this electrical component, where we have to learn how to attune ourselves and become more conscious that just because we have a body doesn't make us the only, you know, the number one, the priority, the primary being. And we don't know that yet, really.
No, we don't, because, you know, that's exactly, you just hit the nail on the head the way I used to be, you know. I thought human beings were the only existence, that's all there is, and that's it, you know. I mean, it's like God, you know, but yeah, exactly, you know, and it's amazing once you can open your eyes and see, you know, if you're able to see, you know. I mean, it takes a little bit of training, you know, to train yourself to be, I mean, I've gotten to the point where I can see some of these images now out of the corner of my eye, which I never would have been able to see before, you know, and then I get a feeling that I need to go out, because the activity will be heavier some nights than others, you know, and I know that the rain does something to them. It's like, you know, I like to refer it to, like, on Star Trek, how they had that cloaking device on some of their ships, you know,
yes.
the ships that they are on that show.
Yes.
Well, that's
mm-hmm.
what I feel like the rain does to them. It uncloaks them. It shows them in all their beauty, you know, and some of the things are reflections off the water, maybe, yes, but the other images cannot be. There's no explanation for them. And I've had reports done by MUFON which have turned out okay, you know, and everything. But there's one scientist that's working with me on this now, and I can't say his name, but he's famous, well-known in his field. And I've changed his mind in a few areas of this phenomenon, and I'm real happy about that because, you know, I wanted him to believe, you know, and they're so close-minded at first, you know, scientists, oh, they have to have explanation for everything, you know, and that's all there is to it.
They have to. Their credibility is on the line, too. I mean, these guys are peer-reviewed, and the minute they get a black mark, then everybody goes, oh, that, and it blows all of their research, not
exactly.
Just that one, but everything out the door.
Yeah, that's why I have to wait to say who he is. But he asked me not to say anything, you know, and he is world known, you know, but I have changed his mind and I'm real glad about that. And he's such a nice person, you know, so our investigation is continuing. He's going to be back up here pretty soon. So,
well, that's the thing. When people are able to develop these abilities, it's like you said, it's a growing relationship. Commitment, engagement between you and another non-corporeal, non-physical energy, element,
right.
Consciousness.
Right.
Our words aren't adequate to describe this, but it's happening anyway. And we're having to develop language and ways of communicating. And they've got all these communities where you're talking with, okay, here it's an ET, an interdimensional, a transdimensional, an extraterrestrial, an orb, you know, a spirit. And then they've got lots of different words for those types of spirits, whether they're positive, negative. And from my experience, if it's negative, it's an element of you that's being reflected and you can fix it in a way that says, this isn't the direction I want to go. It doesn't
right.
say that the negative isn't present. It's that if you continue to reflect, respond, and engage with that type of activity, then you are also part of the process. It's not as external as we have been led to believe. Does
right,
that make
right.
sense?
Yes, it does make a lot of sense. You know, about the negative energy thing, I honestly feel, and I mean, I could say this, you know, from my experience completely, is there has not been one day of negative energy that has come into this at all. Not one night. It's all been positive. And going, stepping forward, it's been a positive experience. You know, and I know I would feel the only negative thing which I've felt, which is not even negative, it's my fear as a human being not knowing what's going on. That's the only thing that I felt nervous about, and I still do to this day a little bit. Like I kind of run inside and close the door real quick, you know. But it's because of my stupidity. It's because I have lack of knowledge in the area of what's really there, you know. And because some of the images kind of scare me a little bit, you know, but. It's I've got getting more and more used to it, you know, and everything's fine, but there's never been any negative output from them, never, you know, and
well,
so I want everybody to know that because that's a question that keeps coming up, you know, quite often is, oh, it's evil. Is it something evil? I mean, there's no evil's here on Earth. I mean, I don't honestly feel it doesn't go into anything past death. You know, it's all here on Earth. It's a human made, you know, thing. I truly believe this, you know, I don't know. I know people have different beliefs in it, but that's what I believe.
Well, for me, in terms of the experience when I've had a negative element in going into places that have had energies and cleaning the space or working with ghosts and working with sometimes it's a residual. It isn't even a ghost. It's like a reflection of what happened there and it needs
right,
to be
right.
elevated. The vibration needs to be shifted and changed. And the easiest way to say you're cleaning the energy, you're restoring it or refreshing it. And that I have felt that kind of energy in a negative, you know, a negative presence. And usually it's something that's troubled in that environment. And
right.
it also will, if you bring other people who are troubled into the equation, then it compounds. It tends to magnify that.
Makes it worse. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what you're doing is working in a totally different way of being curious and allowing and open and saying, go at, you know, please go at a pace that I can work with this. And they're
right.
honoring that. So this is a different kind of arrangement. And when
right.
when we engage that, then I think a lot of times with our heartfelt intentions, that's what's reflected back to us is that thing of we will honor that. And you're both working and you know, both is relative. We don't know how many, but you're all working in, a coherent and cohesive manner to try and keep everything, in a way that each is honored and nothing is somehow overwhelming or thrown on you that you aren't ready to engage.
Yes.
That's the amazing thing about that. There's so much more of this going on that we're just now beginning to get a clue.
Right, right. You know, and I've ever since childhood, I've had a learning disability, severe learning disability. And, you know, I've been worried that I wouldn't be able to express this the way I could express it to others, you know, not knowing the words to put into this, you know, because it's hard to express the way I feel about this, you know, with, you know, the type of words that people use nowadays for this kind of thing, you know, but it's, you know, it's, I feel like it's a godsend. You know, I really do. I feel, you know, I feel not that I've been chosen or anything, but maybe just to show that they exist and how beautiful they are, you know, how positive they are, you know, because it's, some of my photos are pretty amazing. They're beautiful, you know, I mean, just some of them are real breathtaking, and I would love to do some art expression in some of them someday, you know, and have them hanging somewhere because they are that beautiful, you know, and maybe I'll get to that point, you know, I don't know, but, I'm lucky in my life. I've never had any bad, real bad negative things happen to me, and I've had a real good life, you know, and I'm lucky for that, you know, and I
well,
I really
okay.
Feel-
What in this next segment, we're talking with Natalie Roberts in a Sonoma County phenomenon. You can check that out on Facebook. Also, Natalie, it's Natalie Massey Roberts. That's your Facebook page?
Yes, it is.
Okay. So you can connect there and find out and see these images. The other thing, too, is that you mentioned before we were on recording that you had a different experience that kind of separated this from, it's different than the traditional ET phenomenon. I want to talk about that in the next break. And also, you said you're getting information through your dreams and what that's about and what, you know, what kind of details you can share with that. So if you're okay, you know, let's just kind of bring a little bit more of that to the equation, because in my experience, it isn't just about the visual. It's about this telepathy, this non-verbal communication that is also part of these kinds of experiences. And I think that's a big key into evolving our awareness of this other influence in our lives, because it's doing it for a lot of people without their conscious knowing. It's just part of the environment, and they're not clear enough on what their own thoughts are to be able to distinguish there's something else here. And until we get that visual, we're kind of like, eh, it's just my mind. It's my imagination. And then this visual thing happens and we connect the dots and we're like, holy cow. That wasn't me.
Yeah.
I didn't say that. But who is it? Who is it? And the answer is different, because it may not be the same thing for everyone. And if we don't talk about it, we're not going to figure that out either. How's that?
That sounds great. I agree.
Well, you know, I really appreciate you feeling free enough to talk about this now, because I know it's all still new and a part of you that you're just now beginning to really come out and speak about. So I appreciate that.
Oh,
but we'll take
you're
a short-
very welcome. You're very welcome. Thank you.
And we also have to say there's a little 2-year-old in the background who's being
why I'm kind of, my mind is kind of like wandering a little bit. I'm sorry.
No, that's good. That's good. I have dogs that kind of function that same way.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we going to be quiet while we're talking?
Yes. What are they up to?
Yes, that's right. So anyway, but we'll take a quick break here. I want to take a break early, and then we can get back into this and go into the next segment and talk about more of what goes on behind the scenes, beyond the visual. In the meantime, if you have a chance, go ahead and check those photos out, those images. They are really pretty extraordinary. This is Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett on Empower Radio.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny!
Playing in the cave sure is neat.
Oh boy, a kitty cat.
Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling.
What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters?
This bobcat's heavy. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Conscious Living, I'm Wendy Garrett. This is Empower Radio. My guest today is Natalie Roberts. She has a Sonoma County Phenomenon page on Facebook. You can check that out. That's also a website, Sonoma County Phenomenon. And if you are experiencing anything like this, sometimes you question your own belief system, your own sanity, your everything about you, and you turn your life upside down thinking, what is wrong? And for me, I just want to say it's what's right that you get to experience and explore and find out more about reality that you didn't even consider possible before something like this happened. So as Natalie was saying, this changed your life. I want to go into the things that you saw that differentiated it from some of the other ET things that they're talking about, and then the dream stuff. So Natalie, thank you again for sharing your story and these fabulous photos.
Well, thank you very much, Wendy. Would you like to start about the vision I had about that made the difference, I think, between the ETs standing in front of you and then the thing happening in my backyard?
Yes.
I got the message I got from this vision I had. Well, it wasn't actually a vision. It was a sighting. It was probably about 2 years ago in June, and there was fires that were here really badly throughout this area all that summer. And it was 3 o'clock in the morning. I had to go pick up my husband at work. And so when we were coming home down by our house, the main road, I was looking up at the moon and noticed a red sky and the red moon. It was really beautiful, you know. And so I looked away for a second and looked back up, and there was a banana-shaped light up by the moon, but it was closer. It was real closer. And it was huge, and I'm going, what in the heck is that, you know? And I had never seen anything before, you know, so I was just thinking, wow, how did that get there? Because it wasn't there before, you know, and it was quite large. And then watching it hanging out the window, my husband's pulling over, and hanging out the window like a dog would trying to get air. I'm halfway out the window hanging out going, oh, my God. And the thing flipped up on its side. What it was, the banana-shaped light was jagged on the bottom, and it was in the process of flipping over, I guess, and making that light go underneath it. Mm-hmm. So when it flipped over on its side, it was this large, and I swear this is the truth, it was this large disc-looking object, and it was huge. And I went, oh, my God. And the light was behind it. So it was showing, you know, it was showing the whole image. And it started to turn to the right a little bit, and then it was gone. And I couldn't figure out what happened to it. You know, and I was out there for, you know, until almost dawn looking to see where this thing had gone to, trying to figure out where it went to in the sky. And there was a black circle that was there with a hole. It looked like a hole. And I didn't realize till the next day, till a friend of mine said, you know, That's probably one of the holes that it went through, and I went, oh my God, that's probably what it was. But that hole was there till morning time, you know,
like
and
a portal.
Yeah, a porthole of some sort, you know, but it hit me right when I saw that it kind of hit me that the stuff in my backyard is different from what I saw that evening, you know, and there was totally a difference because when I saw that object, it scared the heck out of me. It really did. I just didn't know. I thought maybe they would come back and overtake us or whatever, you know, I mean, I was very frightened, you know, and afraid that it would return, you know, I mean, it was that big.
And, how big?
It, probably five times the size of my house, and I have a 4-bedroom house. It was huge. It was huge. And I'm going, oh my God, you know? And so it was hard to believe at first, but I mean, I saw it with my eyes, you know, so that was it was there. It was there, you know, and then I started thinking about all these poor people that have sightings that nobody believes, you know, that they have a hard time expressing their feelings to people or telling anybody about their stories. And I believe in anything now. I really do. I believe that, you know, people are seeing things, and this made a difference between what was in my backyard and them. It really made a big difference, you know, and that's the feeling I get from this. You know, it was something they wanted to show me, and boy, did they ever.
Well, you know, okay, so that's my thing is, do you think they prepared you for this so that you wouldn't just totally jump off the deep end?
Yes, I do. I do, you know, and they, you know, I sit outside a lot and talk to them. And tell them how my day is gone and cry to them about my, you know, problems that I've had. You know, I really do. I talk to them a lot like they're family members. I do. I sit outside and converse with them, you know, and I do feel they listen to me. I really do, you know, and it's like, you know, and this might sound strange, but I kind of feel like they're family members in a way, and I would protect them like a family member. That's why I don't have people coming over here taking pictures or anything. You know, I feel like I don't want to intrude on their space. You know, intruding is enough, you know, that's why I've really limited people coming over here. I usually do it by myself, you know, and just a few people here and there, but that's it, you know. And
well, you know, I think there's a lot of respect that goes along with that because it's not about show and tell level. Look, you know, a lot of people who do those kinds of things, it's like, I have to prove it. And they don't get it. You can't prove it until somebody is willing to entertain, accept, allow this. No proof will work. It just doesn't work that way.
Well, I don't know us as human beings will ever understand it. You know, we're so limited in the way we're not allowed to understand things like this. You know, it's like my husband put it a really good way. He says, you know, when we walk in life, we go down the path as human beings, you know, and anything that's extra off to the sides, we're not allowed to really understand because it might ruin our lives if we understand it. It might, you know, mass hysteria or whatever. You know, whatever it is, but, you know, it's so true. We're just so limited in the way we're supposed to think and think about things, because on the other side, if we do understand things like that, it would just change everything as we know it, you know, and I don't know if we're ready for that. I don't know if we'll ever be ready for it, you know, but, hopefully someday, you know, I mean, it's a start now because of what's happening to me. I mean, it's really changed my life completely, the way I feel about people and everything, you know, and it's amazing. It's really been an amazing journey.
Well, the thing for me that was so special about it was that I'd always had, as a child, had a sense that I was never, ever alone. And it wasn't paranoia. It was just that sense of there was always company. There's always something here. I can't see it. I don't know what it is. Sometimes I have a better sense of it. But there was that thing of, you know, people say that we are all alone. And that was what I was supposed to believe. But I couldn't believe it because it didn't seem that way. And I had other indications and other experiences that told me that wasn't my reality, that I was in company of others. And so then when the things began to be more real and other types of experiences began to happen, and my instruction through the guides and guidance was that we were working on ascension. And to do that, I had to elevate and increase and improve and upgrade my vibration, my frequency, my ability to perceive things that are unseen. And in other words, work on the extrasensory perception part of it. It doesn't mean you're a psychic, but it means you are more sensitive to other things in your environment. And you sometimes become very ill if you don't ask permission before going into a certain place because you know better.
right, exactly. Yeah, I understand
that. You have not been invited. You have not asked permission. And so, like, you know, if I went over to your house without permission and had an intention of stealing or misappropriating or doing something with ill will, then that ill will would come back on my doorstep tenfold. Those things were being taught to me. as as this went on. And you talk about your dreams and your information. How does that happen?
Well, I'll tell you about one dream, you know, in specific, is when I was a little girl, and this was a recurring dream I had as a child that was so frightening. I had come home from Illinois with my mother on a train one time, and I have a twin sister also. And we had gotten off the train, and I came home, and I have an older sister that's 14 years older than I am. And so she pretty much remembers everything that happened when we were children, you know, because I call and ask, hey, what's this? Was that true? Was this true? You know, and she knows all the answers to all of it, you know. And I never discussed my nightmares with her until recently. And what had happened was I dreamt a recurring dream, like I said, of a man floating outside my bedroom window. And we were three stories up off the ground, so he would sit there in Indian style and laugh at me. And then he would come into the room and put his hand, invisible hand, over my mouth so I couldn't scream. And he would take me places, to these big rooms that, with white walls that I remember. And I was like the smallest speck in the corner, you know, and very afraid of anything that would enter that room because I was so tiny and small, you know. And then I would wake up, and when I would wake up, I'd be just like, I would be in a panic state, you know, when waking up in my bed, you know, sitting up awake, you know, and I felt like I'd been on a journey somewhere, but then I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand any of it, but it would happen time and time again, this journey with this man, and he kind of like looked like a little elf kind of thing, you know, and so, you know, what's really funny is the dream. Okay. The dreams came and went when I was a child, and I never forgot about him, but I kind of put him back into my memory, you know, because it was imprinted there forever. Those dreams never would go away from me, you know. And so about 6 months ago, I fell asleep, and I woke up, and I was in this beautiful house on top of these. I was raised in the redwood trees, you know, and so I've always loved redwood trees. But I was in this huge house with these big bay windows looking over this redwood forest, endless redwood trees everywhere. And I thought, wow, this is just really beautiful, you know, and in the dream. And, oh, my God, these trees are just gorgeous. I'm everywhere, redwood trees. So I felt at home with it, you know, and so... and there were people that were in the background. And I remember that there were people that I knew, but I didn't know who they were when I woke up. But I knew them in my dream. I knew them very well, you know. And all of a sudden, they disappeared. All the people disappeared, and I was by myself. And so all of a sudden, my images and my pictures started showing up in my dream in front of this bay window up in the sky. And I'm going, oh, my God, look at, there's my pictures that I have. Oh, my God, come on, everybody. But everybody was gone. So, but I was going, everybody, come look at my pictures. And I looked around. Oh, everybody's gone. And I realized I was by myself. But so I sat there and enjoyed this show that they were showing me, you know. And so here's one pic, you know, one jellyfish-looking character that I have in some of my pictures and another one up in this other corner. And all of a sudden, this heavy fog set in. And it was like a dense fog, and it covered everything. And it was real quick, and it covered even me inside the house. It was just totally everywhere, and I couldn't see in front of my face, so I was, you know, shooing with my hand to get the fog away from my eyes and everything. And then it cleared up, and when it cleared up, there was a UFO on the deck of this house right in front of me with the bay window separating us and his windshield of this UFO, or the window that they looked through, I guess, is what it was. And I looked through the window into his eyes, and I looked at him, and I said to myself with my mouth moving, are you who I think you are? And he told me not to talk with my mouth, to put my hand over my mouth and use my mind. And this is when I realized mental telepathy, okay? And he goes, do you know are you who I think you are? And he said, yes, he had been coming to me since I was a child. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh my God, you know, and this dream was so, so intense. And so it seemed, you know, I mean, I'll never forget it, you know, and he goes, yes, I've been coming to you since you were a child. And I told him, did you know that I'm taking pictures? Is it okay? And he agreed that it was fine. And that they knew that I was taking pictures and everything was fine with that. But he wanted me to know that he was the one that was coming to me since I was a little girl. You know, and so that cleared up a lot of the problem with those dreams that I had. Mm-hmm. And then I realized what it was that was coming to me, you know, and that was a whole new thing too for me. It was a new awakening in a way. It really was.
Yes. I mean, some of that childhood trauma stuff, when we don't have a way to put it in some kind of concept or a framework, then it really can mess with your mind because there's a lot of fear that has been set. without your awareness, but you still have to get around those blocks because it colors everything else. I've had people who've had ghost experiences as children, you know, something's in the closet, blah, 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 and they go into the house and they are really petrified to go back into the house, let alone near the closet, because something's going to get them. And all right. along, it wasn't something negative. It was a powerful protector. And, you know, that once you reset and reframe that, then everything dissolves and they can go forward. But we are, you know, we are so in the middle of learning about this and expanding our awareness that your type of experience is exactly what helps give people a framework for, hey, I think I have something like this going on too.
Well, I sure hope it does. You know, I hope it helps people, you know, a lot. That's what this is there for, you know, I mean. That's what I feel like my mission is to show them how beautiful they are and to help others, you know, come out and talk about their experiences. You know, it's very important, you know, because I know how it feels to bottle it in and not, you know, I was afraid to tell anybody about this at first. I mean, I didn't want people to think I was a kook, you know, and everything, but it's not being crazy. It's not, it's something that's happening and it's for real, you know, it is for real. And I believe in it 1,000%. I really do. And, you know, and I listen to people's stories now more with an open heart, you know, in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
yeah.
what's important, you know. And I'll tell you one thing, that dream that I had about that man floating in that UFO on that deck, I remember during the dream also, I told him, I said, how dare you make me go through my life? I was mad at him because I go, why didn't you come to me a long time ago and explain to me who you were? Because then I wouldn't have had this fear throughout my whole life and wasted all that energy being afraid of something that I shouldn't have never been afraid of, you know. And that's one thing I did relay to him. And then I woke up, you know.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
It was quite intense.
Do you hear the lesson in that?
Absolutely. Yes, I do. I hear the lesson in it. And I've learned, you know, and it's not to fear things so much. You know, human beings are so afraid of everything, anything they don't understand, you know, and that's one thing. And if they don't understand it, most of them, it's got to be evil or something. You know, that's what I've noticed. I have heavy Christians in my family, and that's one thing that they use a lot of is the, you know, evil or when they don't understand things. And we got to start understanding things more because we aren't the only ones out there. I mean, the universe is full of beautiful and wonderful things, you know, and we have to learn about these things, you know, if we can, you know, it's they're there for us to learn about them. They really are.
Well, and see, my experience is it's the same thing. The bottom line was the connection I had was so incredibly loving and overwhelmingly beautiful that it made me want to be a better human being, you know, and you have a feeling of humility. You have a feeling that you'll never be good enough. At the same time, you have the feeling that you're here because you have a purpose. What that means to anybody else is irrelevant. You do the best job you can and understand that being human is really what it's about. And whatever that means to each individual, we have to work through that ourselves and come out the other side.
Yep, that's so true. It is, and it's a long journey. It really is, you know, and it's a hard one for some of us, you know. It's a true eye opener.
It doesn't mean that there's a cakewalk involved with once you have these kind of experiences. The old Zen, the saying that, you know, before enlightenment, wash dishes, after enlightenment, wash dishes, or chop wood, I think, along that line. Everything else continues. You just have this appreciation that there's something more. There's something more, and it's beyond us. And that's really the carrot that keeps everything rolling, is that there is no ending. There's this greater, always present, that we are here to remember eventually.
To make our mark, you know. I mean, really, it's human beings are very important, as we all know. You know, it's all a very important ingredient in life. You know that we all have to, you know, experience. I wish everybody could experience things, you know, before, you know, they get too. I don't know. Some people don't see anything at all, you know, and I feel sorry for those people. I really do, because. Having this experience has been a true gift, I feel, you know, and I hope it stays ongoing. I really do. And I feel blessed by it. I really do.
Well, see, I don't think it, in the way I first viewed it, I thought it was going to evaporate. I thought, oh my gosh, I've got to take every picture. I have to write everything down.
Oh,
I have
so did
to
I.
get
so
up at 2 a.m., get up at 4 a.m., get up. Is it still doing it? Is it still, you know, walk in the house, run to the room. Is it still, you know, is it doing this? And then I thought, well, okay, I'm going to take it out of the house. I'm going to take it traveling. And at the same time as I'm walking out the door going, oh, I hope it doesn't burn out.
See, your experience is so amazing. I'd love to learn. I'm going to learn more about your experience because I totally believe in it. I mean, I just, oh my God, it's just amazing. It really is.
Well, and see, the thing is, once I got beyond the thing that it wasn't me, I wasn't making this happen, and it wasn't going to go away just because that particular light wasn't there.
Right.
When I go to the lake, somebody else has a nightlight, it goes through there. You know, it's just, or it does a table lamp. It lets me know. It blinks.
That's so
it
amazing.
Flickers. It goes out. It stays out. It, because it's an electrical thing, and that's how we are connecting through these energy waves, these frequencies, and
right.
And then beyond that, then it started getting into tones and sounds and vibrations that I could feel. And I do know that we are learning together, and some of our language, some of the things we already think we know that we have documented, you know, this is a spiritual, this is a seance, this is a voodoo, this is all those words really don't have a way of integrating what we are experiencing now in our present day knowledge of what's going on. But we can't learn this stuff fast enough, and we can't throw the old stuff out quick enough to get us
that's
up
so
to
true.
Where we need to be.
So, yeah, that's so true.
So the fear is the first thing that has to go. And by integrating and learning what fear feels like and how it makes us react, we are better equipped to get around it. And that's,
right.
I think that story for you, you had it for so long and, you know, you were, why didn't you get me over it? Because you had to walk through and work through the fear to understand
right.
it and have empathy for other people who may or may not be able to get over it.
Right, exactly. You know, but I still have fear, though. I still fear what I have happening here. I really do. You know, just because I don't know. And I'm afraid, I guess I'm afraid that it might hurt me in some way, but the only way it could ever hurt me is through me. You know what I mean? Being as naive as I am about all of this. But, you know, it's I'm trying to work through that, though. It's I've always been afraid of scary movies and everything. You know,
you know, afraid the other shoe's going to drop.
Yeah. I am, you know, and there was one other dream that I had that was quite intense that I don't know if I was asleep, you know, I felt like maybe I was half awake, half asleep, you know, and should I tell you about that really quickly or
yes,
would that be okay? My husband had to work all night long. He works really bad hours, but he was gone all night and I had felt not a fear, but I felt kind of anxious that night when I went to bed, you know, and for some reason, I've lived in this house for 28 years. I mean, it was given to me as a wedding present, so I've always felt welcome here and comfortable in this house. I've raised my kids here and everything, you know. And so for that one night, though, I felt kind of different. And when I went to bed, I decided to put the covers up over my head to go to sleep. And when I did, all of a sudden, I woke up, and I could have sworn I was awake, and my covers were elevated in midair. And I went, what in the heck? And I have a skylight in my bedroom, and all of a sudden, this entity came down out of my skylight, and it was short-circuiting, like a crackling sound, like, you know, a crackle sound would make with electricity. Mm-hmm. And from one end of its fingertips around its head in a circle to the other end of its fingertips, there was a rainbow of electricity lights that were going on. And it was moving its arms in different motions, like a waving motion, and making this weird crackling sound, like I said, like electrical short circuit or something. And then it was gone. It disappeared, but it scared me. I mean, I just didn't know what to think. You know, I'm just going, oh, my God. And my mm-hmm. covers, when I woke up, were all the way across the room. All the lights were on in my room. And I went, what in the heck was that? I mean, it was like, it made me realize that, you know, that there is more energy than I can even imagine out there, you know. But it that's one of the turning points in this whole thing also, was that one dream that I had, you know, that, it definitely came and visited me, I feel, in a way. You know, it was a visitation of some sort.
Well,
you know,
I had an earlier, I can't remember the name of the, Sanjay. I had an interview with a man who said he had an Indian avatar appear to him in his room.
Oh,
and
wow.
The guy said, you're going to look for me the rest of your life. You're going to keep trying to find me the rest of your life. And he said, you know, the guy looked very real right in front of him. And it's just, there are things that we don't yet know about
our
reality.
That right.
Because we have this logical thing of A, B, C, D, everything has to follow a linear form. We are really uncomfortable when things don't operate that way.
Yes.
And for me, reality is not linear. It's a wave. It's quantum. Things don't happen one after the other sequentially the way we have been trained. But that's a good starting point so that when
yep.
we fall off the linear thing into whatever it is we've, you know, the pothole of the other altered space, time, frequency, then we can come back by establishing a linear plane and saying, okay, I'm going to make these things add up, and then I've got a framework to work from. But if you don't have a starting point like that, then you're lost in all of this incredible, phantasmagorical reality.
I love that word. That fits it perfectly. It does. I'm really enjoying what I'm doing, you know, and like I said, I hope it continues ongoing for as long as I'm here, you know. I really do, because it's taught me so much, and God bless us all, you know, in a way. Our Creator made us all. He made us all in one thing, you know, and it's not like, you know, I honestly believe we all have the same Creator. I really do. It's just wonderful. The whole thing is just wonderful as far as I'm concerned. I feel blessed completely.
Well, yeah, there's a euphoria that comes with this connection that just never goes away. There's a moment that bliss comes in and your whole life seems to have a glow, a charge. And for me, it's that thing of just to continue pushing. And I don't expect to have all the answers, but I expect to have a heck of a time.
you have a voice in it, though. You know what I mean? You're able to, you know, portray and give your voice as your opinion and your to the world, you know, and it's wonderful. I think what you're doing is wonderful. It's helping others, and that's what's most important, Wendy. It really is. It's, you know, people can hear you and say, man, I've had that experience. She says it's okay, so it's got to be okay, you know, and instead of feeling so afraid of it and not even acknowledging it, mostly in some, you know, situations. And I think what you're doing is wonderful. And thank you so much for everything you've done. You know,
thank you. I think, you know, that's why I had my experience. That's part of it. We have to go through these, and instead of working against each other, support each other and validate each other, because this is our experience. We are doing this. And, you know, learning that is part of this nature and part of this trip may take a little while to really integrate and understand that just because the group you're born into doesn't get you doesn't mean there isn't one out there that will. You had to get here somehow, and that was it. So get on it.
That's so true.
It.
That's so true. It's so true.
I got the ticket. Darn it, it was the wrong train.
Story of my life. No.
No, but that's it. That's it. It's not about being with the wrong people. It's about being with those who got you to the table, or got you to the game, got you to the party, the performance, and then working to be who you are and who you were meant to be in the best of your ability. So you're doing some things just by exploring and allowing this to evolve that give other people a way of trying their own viewpoint, their own experience, their own, you know, testing their reality, their own way of bringing something into a concrete form that they can see.
Exactly.
And that's where it starts.
Exactly. You know,
so
exactly.
Paying attention is a big deal. Now, okay. your website, go ahead and share that so people can connect.
My website is at www. All lowercase, of course, a Sonoma, which is ASONOMACOUNTYPHENOMENON.com. And that's my website.
And
then
the
I'm also.
Fabulous.
Excuse me.
The pictures are fabulous.
Oh, well, thank you. They're all on automatic setting only. No, the only thing I did to them was to brighten them up a little bit with the you know, darker, brighter thing. Because some of the pictures, you could see the image there, but you couldn't see it all the way because it was too dark. Because, of course, at nighttime, you know, so I had a little bit of brightness, but that's basically all I did with those pictures. So, yeah, it's not touching them up at all. So,
I want to ask, you know, you mentioned a little bit about the fog before. Is it better? See, for me, some of these experiences are enhanced when we're going to have thunderstorms, when that electrical energy is at a higher charge. Because the animals tell me that, too.
Right. The foggy stuff, you know, I only get basically the really good apparitions during the summer months when there's no fog out. So it's, you know, this is a known fog area, you know, in near San Francisco area, you know, it really is. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a lot of fog here, but during the summer months, you know, it's usually hot weather, you know, and like, you know, summer months usually are. But when I see the mist coming towards my hands, sometimes it's encircled my hands, and then I get these pictures. So I know there's a difference between the foggy mist and the apparition mist. You know, there's totally a difference in color in the pictures. And I make sure, you know, what I even do is I hold my breath when I take some of the pictures, because I know that breath can also make, you know, quite an enhancement. So I'm real careful. I've done my experiments and, you know, pinpointed everything just right. So I make sure that what the pictures are what they are, you know, and no added enhancements.
They speak for themselves. Well, Natalie, we've got to let you go, but we will stay in touch. Thank you for listening. This is Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett on Empower Radio.